today as we come to the table.
Do you really believe in your God? And here's the thing. You might say, yeah, I believe in my God. But you know what? Sometimes it's not until the lion's den that we find out. And you're, why would God allow me to be in this situation where everybody wants to devour me, where it seems like my life is going to be totally destroyed? God is saying, Mark, do you really trust me? Oh, you can stand up there and wax eloquent, you know, have your message prepared, and you know, you can share and this kind of thing and all. And it's all nice when you're there among family and friends that love you and you're getting to share my word, which is fantastic. You can do that. But what happens when it's not the family of God? What happens when it's the den of lions?
What happens when we find ourselves in a lion's den? What happens when difficult times come and we are tested? Do you really believe, or do you just love God when things are going well? We don't find out how strong our faith is until we're tested. God allows us to go through tough times for a reason. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches us of Daniel's faith that survived the test of the lion's den. True faith can only be tested when we go through the trials of life. It is in these times that we prove His power, provision, and protection. Our dependence on Him during trials strengthens us and is a witness to the world. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
God is working something you may not even understand until the day you enter the kingdom of God. And we need to trust Him. And we need to say like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord, you know, you will deliver me. But if not, I still will not bow to your gods. In other words, you will deliver me, but if not, I will still trust you. I'm not going to believe that you're not faithful. And I'm going to keep my eyes firmly fixed on you. And so this is Daniel again, in this position, trusting the Lord and knowing that God's going to deliver him in some form and fashion. I think the king here is giving what I would call hopeful faith when he says to Daniel, your God will deliver you. You know, again, I don't know that he wasn't a believer at this point. I think by the end of the chapter, he is a believer. I think we're going to see in the statement that he makes, he too came to know the Lord. And yet, at this point, he's not, because he refers to Daniel's God as your God. He says, your God will deliver you. He doesn't say our God. He says, your God will deliver you. And so I think, again, there's some hopeful things going on here in the midst of this. And this says, notice then, they cast him into the lion's den. It's interesting. You just kind of get a note. It says, then they took a stone, laid it on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. They would put some type of barrier up, and then they would take wax and put it on that barrier and push the king's ring in that wax, and it would seal it to show that it was the king's seal, and if anybody broke it, they're in big trouble. So that was what was going on there. That's the reason they did that. But again, you think about Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. I tried to look up Medo-Persian lion's den. There's not a lot of information out there about lion's dens. But it does appear that probably what it was a big pit that had a rock on the top, an opening on the top, where they would drop them down in there. And of course, you'd put the rock over the top so the lions couldn't jump out, so that the people couldn't get out. But then you think, wait a minute, the lions, what if you open the rock and the lions, they're waiting? By the way, these lions, you have to understand, they were bred to be fierce. They would purposely make them as mean as they could, and then they would feed them less food than they needed to be really happy. So whenever someone got thrown in, it would be this just immediate attack and this ferocious type thing where they would just devour. So you never wanted to get anywhere close to any one of those paws. And I was thinking, how deep was this hole here? You know, I looked up, they did a study on African lions. Now imagine this. People talk about how high people can jump. It's one thing if you're running and you jump, right? Whatever. Try standing just where you are and jump as high as you can. You're not going to jump that high. Now, some people are stronger than others. Professional athletes can jump a little bit higher. But even at that, if you go from the bottom of their shoe down to the ground, jumping straight up without a running go, you're not going to get a whole lot of leap in there, except for the elite athletes. And even that, you're not going to get super, super high. But I found out that lions, if they're standing flat, can jump 12 feet in the air. Think about that. That's 2 feet above the rim. You talk about, without even running go, you talk about Air Jordan, Air Lion. Boom! I mean, they just break the backboard, you know, and they said when they're running, now we think with these guys running, playing basketball, whatever, a lion can go like 38 feet. We're talking like half court type stuff and slam dunking it. So now again, I didn't measure half court, so don't quote me on that. It's probably farther than 38 feet. But either way, the reality is I'm giving you the idea how high they could jump. Why am I saying this? You wouldn't have the pit even probably just 12 feet deep. You'd probably have it 13, 14, 15 feet deep, right? Because you don't want to be throwing the guy in and you become lunch as well. That big paw come up and grab you and pull you down as one of them jump straight up to grab you, whatever. So why am I saying all this? Daniel's in his late 80s. They dropped him probably 13, 14, 15 feet down to the bottom of this lion's den. And we're going to see later on there was no harm to him. Now, again, I don't know that I could drop that far at this age and not have some kind of harm. So you see God already intervening, no doubt, when he hit and he found that he wasn't hurt. He realizes that God's already protecting him. And this whole kind of thing is they throw him in there. And I started imagining, what was it like for Daniel when they dropped him in there? Now, again, remember, most people, when they dropped them down in there, they were immediately attacked. And these lions were fighting for the food, as horrible as that sounds. And they weren't fed as well. So whatever hit that ground, they're going to be jumping on and trying to rip to pieces immediately. I tried to imagine, can you imagine Daniel? The king says that to him. He's going, well, my God's going to deliver me, or he's not. He hits the bottom, and what does he do? Does he just kind of, no doubt he kind of collapses, and he's there while he's on his knees, probably praying. Lord, here I am. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to do. And you can imagine that first few seconds, kind of wondering, you know, did he open his eyes? Did he have them closed? You're wondering what's going to happen. You hear the noise of the lions walking around, and nobody pounced yet. And then you wait about 5 minutes saying, Lord, you know, if this is going to happen, then give me the grace. Lord, I need your strength. You're going to deliver me. Then God, deliver me. I know what my prayer would be, right? 5 minutes goes by, probably seems like about an hour. Can you imagine after about 15 or 20 minutes, this peace that began to come over Daniel's heart? God, you are delivering me from the lions. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By now, they would have eaten me alive. I would be long gone. You are doing this. When did the angel show up? Did he see the angel? No doubt that he did. But even if he didn't, he knew there was an angel there. He's going to say in a moment that was closing the mouths of the lions. And think about these lions. They're starving to death. And here comes dinner, right? And they can't do anything. I'm sure their stomachs were growling as loud as their mouth would have growled, right? But God didn't allow them to attack. And I wonder how long if they could. Did God just make them all calm? You have all these images. What was it like? I think I saw one picture where, Daniel was like leaning back sleeping on one of the lions. I don't know that it was that. But either way, can you imagine realizing, my God is now restraining the lions, and the peace that would have come upon Daniel at this point. Yeah, he had to spend all night in there, but no doubt he would have had great rest and peace coming upon him, saying, God, you're doing it. You know, we're going to see in a moment that the king was pacing and restless and worried about everything. Daniel was probably sleeping. You know, the king's pacing, Daniel's sleeping. And isn't that the difference of the believer and the unbeliever when we come to the trials of life? The unbeliever is going to be pacing back and forth. And again, even as a believer, we can have our moments of pacing, can't we? We have our moments of anxiousness or fear or whatever the case might be, but then God gives peace and we find rest. And Daniel now, in the midst of the lion's den, what a picture that is for us as believers, finding the rest of God in the midst of the lion's den, and then him watching that stone put on the top and know that, okay, this is there till morning. We'll see what's going to happen again, very quickly finding the peace of God, but the king not finding it so quickly. Look at verse 18. And the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. I mean, typically the king would have music playing, live music there in the palace, all the food you could imagine for you, your servants, any guests that you would have that would be in there. And so the celebration was no music. Get rid of the food. You know, what's wrong with the king? He loves Daniel. He's worried about Daniel. And, you know, I wonder whether or not he was saying, oh, you know, if you're out there, the God of Daniel, if you can hear me, help him, you know, because he didn't really know God. So he would have been praying to God in that sense. But no doubt was probably crying out to the God of Daniel. We don't know all the details. But notice also his sleep went from him. So he stayed up all night. Now, Daniel may have been up all night praying. We don't know. That certainly paints a more spiritual picture, if you will. But he also would have been not necessarily been unspiritual by getting some rest. He's an older man, and he sees God's protection. He has God's peace. And so kind of an interesting picture to think about Daniel sleeping and this man pacing, as we said. But notice he couldn't wait until the morning came. He's excited to see if God has delivered him. So he's up all night long. And notice verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning, no doubt before the sun even came up. He was anxious. Is Daniel okay? Did his God protect him? So he rose very early in the morning and he went in haste to the den of lions. And notice this as he's approaching what it says here. It says in verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. Now, what was this voice like? You can only imagine. And the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Notice that. Has he been able? Yes, he is able. And this is something you guys need to realize. This part of this whole thing was a testimony to the king. It wasn't just for Daniel. It was a testimony to the king. And the way we handle the trials, the way we trust God in the midst of the lion's den, is a huge testimony to the world around us. Because people are going to say, is his or her God able to help them, able to deliver them? And we need to portray, yes, our God is able and he will. And even if he doesn't, we're still going to serve him and love him, because that's the God that we serve. And so I love the fact that he says, is your God able? No doubt he's waiting anxiously, you know, and what am I going to hear anything, you know, come from the lion's den or whatever? And so he makes this call out, is your God able? Look at verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. You wonder how he said that. You know, here the king's up there panicked, and I think about how excited the king when he heard this. Like, he's alive. Nothing happened to him. But I imagine Daniel down there just all rested. Maybe he's had a good night's sleep. We don't know. Maybe he's been up praying. But either way, he has the peace of God. He realizes now that an angel has come and closed all their mouths so they can't do anything to him. So he's not afraid of them. These are little kittens to Daniel at this point. And instead of going, get me out, hurry, king, they're being restrained by an angel, but I'm not sure how long I have. You know, get me out of here. It was kind of like, oh, king, live forever. Hey, let's talk for a minute first. How are you doing, king? How are you doing? Are you okay? I know it was a hard night for you. Look at the grace of the believer when God gives it as compared to those in the world. And just imagine, you know he said it with this confidence and this respect. Oh, king, live forever. Just and the king now rejoicing as he hears him say this. And he tells him what happened. Look at the testimony. My God sent his angel, and he shut the lions' mouths so that they've not hurt me. Here's why. Because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Wow, what a testimony. I'm innocent before God and man, and God has preserved me by the power of his angel that he sent to watch over me, and simply by his power. And again, this is such a comforting thing. God will be our protector. And he's not just our protector among men. He's not just our protector among the consequences of the world, but God is also our protector in the spiritual realm. Remember, we have another lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But what we know is that he can't devour the believer because God protects us. And so that's the rest that we have. Look, he can make noise. And some of you may be hearing the roar of the enemy. You're not going to make it. You're going to go down. And the roar of the enemy. He may be hearing that. Listen, he can't bite. All he can do is roar. Stand firm. Trust God. Get your eyes on the Lord and realize God is my protector. Not only can he save me like he did Daniel from the lion's den, but God will save me spiritually as well. God is my protector. And so take heart in that and trust in that. And again, Daniel did, and we can do that as well. And so again, notice in verse 23 now, it says, now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. I can imagine, get him out of there, guys. You know, and Daniel's very calm. Yep, I'd like to get out. I mean, good to see you, king, but you can go and get me out. I'm ready to, you know, get some rest here and let these lions get some rest. I'm not sure they're going to get any rest. We're going to see in just a moment. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and look at this. No injury whatever was found on him. And here's why. Here's the key, guys. Because, I have that double underlined, because he believed in his God. Do you believe in your God today? Do you really believe in your God? And here's the thing. You might say, yeah, I believe in my God. But you know what? Sometimes it's not until the lion's den that we find out. And you're, why would God allow me to be in this situation where everybody wants to devour me, where it seems like my life is going to be totally destroyed? God is saying, Mark, do you really trust me? Oh, you can stand up there and wax eloquent, you know, have your message prepared, and you know, you can share and this kind of thing and all, and it's all nice when you're there among family and friends that love you, and you're getting to share my word, which is fantastic. You can do that. But what happens when it's not the family of God? What happens when it's the den of lions? What happens when it looks like this is the end? Are you still going to trust me just as much? As you know, true trust can only be proven when it's tested. Even as true love can only be proven when it's tested. Some of you right now, God, if you love me, why? There's no way to prove real love unless God allows things that can test that love. Are you going to love God when it doesn't go your way? Are you going to love God when it doesn't feel as good? Or are you just going to love God when everything goes your way and it always feels good? That's not love. Love is a commitment. Love is a choice. And it's believing and trusting that our God has our best interests at heart regardless. And although we don't know what's going on right now, He does, and we're going to trust Him. And the only way to find that out is to be tested. Again, Daniel was tested. Daniel passed the test. And at the same time, he was also a huge testimony here to the king, which again, as I said, was a big part of this. And so get him out of there. Bring him up out of that den or whatever. Look at verse 24. Now it gets rather intense. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. Now, it could have stopped there for me and been fine. In other words, these men deserved this. They were wanting to see Daniel ripped up by wild animals, and they lied and deceived in order to do it. This was a just judgment for them. But the next part is where it gets difficult. Notice it says, them and their children and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones in pieces before they ever even came to the bottom of the den. Now, again, I do believe that God approved of the judgment of these men that were trying to wrongfully put Daniel to death by such a violent death, but I do not believe that God had anything to do with their children and their wives. This was a Medo-Persian custom. If you did something and you were thrown in the lion's den, they would throw your family in. You'd be saying, look, mom and dad, you need to really be on your best behavior because I don't want you causing me some difficulties. And by the way, although God did not approve this, this was not something God did. This was their custom, and I don't believe that it was very clear in God's word that God doesn't expect the children to suffer for the parents. But the reality is there is a principle here we need to understand as mom and dads, and that is our sin does affect our kids. It just does. As much as we like to think it doesn't. If we're living a life that's dishonoring to God, that's going to bleed down to our kids. Now, God doesn't hold them accountable for what we do, but at the same time, there is an impact as a consequence for what we're doing that passes down to our kids. And it works both ways, but again, the parents are the ones that are really accountable. But again, this was not something where God was holding the wives and children accountable for something they had done. This was simply a custom. And I tried to imagine how many people were thrown in there. Notice this. They were attacked. It says this, and their bones were broken in pieces before they hit the bottom of the den. I mean, when they took Daniel out, these lions all gathered looking up going, okay, we need a substitute. We couldn't eat that guy. We've been looking at filet of Daniel all night. And we couldn't even taste. And all of a sudden, they begin to drop him in. And I don't want to think about this too much or graphic, but can you imagine the noise and the carnage and the violence and how awful that would have been? Throwing one after another in that hole, their family, their wives, their kids. Listen, again, this is just the brutality of the world we live in and what we're doing, whatever. But it shows also the power of God to deliver us and deliver Daniel out of such a situation like that. And destroyed them. So don't think that God approved of this. I do not believe that God did with the wives and children. I think it was something that because the Medes and Persians, they did. And these men, again, I believe were probably tastier anyway. You know, Daniel had a real hard backbone and was real tough skinned. These guys were spineless and probably very tender. So they probably made a better meal for the lions anyway. Our heart would break for those, their children and their wives. What a tragic end for them because of the sins of what they had done. And then notice this, then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Now guys, before I even read this, note this, this is the second world ruler that Daniel affected so greatly by his love and testimony for God that they wrote the world a letter in testimony saying the God of Israel is the God of all gods. Wow. Listen, we need to be praying for boldness to share with our family, right? And to share with our friends. Can you imagine affecting the entire world? This is what a lifelong commitment to God, losing the fear of man and losing the consequences of what the world may do, this is the potential of that. It can be a testimony to the entire world. And God did it twice, rather through Daniel. Here's the second, you know, king. We're going to see later on, he does it three times. Darius sends them back and says, the God of Israel said they can come back and rebuild their temple. And it would appear that Daniel led Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and Cyrus all to God. They all got saved. They're all in the kingdom together. Can you imagine them being up there now with Daniel saying, thank you, Daniel, that you didn't bow to the pressures and the fear of the world, that you told us the truth, that we could know your God, because here we are forever, and we would have been lost forever. Imagine their heart toward Daniel now. Again, it all pays off. And so he says, to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion in my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Now remember, they had multiple gods. This is why I believe that he's saved now. He says, Daniel's God is the living God. I think his testimony brought him to God through this. And he's steadfast forever. In other words, the only God that really have to do with. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Again, probably going back to Daniel's dream. Remember, he saw the image and the different parts of the kingdoms, and one of them was the Medo-Persian Empire. The rock came out, not cut out with hands. That picture of Jesus Christ, our rock, crashed into the foot and the feet of the statue. It was crumbled. He goes, that's this God. That's this kingdom. The Medo-Persian Empire will fall, but this kingdom will never fall. And his dominion shall endure till the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And again, what an amazing testimony, what amazing picture here he gives of what God has done. And just again, this testimony that he leaves in front of the whole kingdom and the whole world. And then he ends it there in verse 28. So this Daniel, notice it was that Daniel when they said it, but now it's this Daniel, the beloved, prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Again, all these kings, Daniel prospered because Daniel was faithful to his God. Now, we're going to bring this portion. I've got something else to share, so we're not quite done yet. After I pray, I want to share something with you guys from my heart this morning after this. But as we finish this passage today, listen, there's so many things applicable to us, but I just want to encourage you right now. Are you in the midst of the lion's den? Now, again, we know it's not the literal lion's den, whatever. Are you in the midst of maybe just the fear of man, whatever the case might be? Some of you may say, I'm facing the fear of man. Some of you may say, no, I'm actually in now the consequences of the world. Know this, God can and will deliver you. He will be with you in the midst of it. He will give you what you need. Do not panic. Get your eyes on the Lord. Trust in God. He has a history of being faithful to his followers and to those who put their trust in him. God will be faithful to you. And I just want to encourage you, this is a time your faith may be being tested. You know, the lion can roar, but he can't bite down. The lion of the tribe of Judah can roar, and he will save you from the other lion that can't harm you, because he's the true king of the jungle, if you will. That is our God, Jesus Christ. And so he's the one that rules and reigns. And so I want to finish this today and just really pray for anyone in here that may have a heart that's in fear, for whatever the case might be, that God would give all of us a heart of boldness when it comes to man and a heart of boldness when it comes to the consequences of the world around us. Because as I mentioned last week, I think more than ever, we need to cultivate this in our heart, and we need to ask God to do this, because I think we're going to need it in the days in which we live. And so let's ask God to do that. Father, I do thank you, Lord, again for what you've shown us with Daniel, how you brought him to a place where he didn't fear man, and you brought him to a place where he didn't even fear the consequences of man, by throwing him in the lion's den. Lord, we know that he was human, that he no doubt had moments of fear like anyone would have, but you gave him power and you gave him strength, Lord, and you are the one, God, that showed him your power, and you delivered him from the midst of these situations. And right now, God, for those that are in here that are worried, God, will you deliver me? Let them know in their heart, you will deliver them. You will see them through the same way you did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same way you did Daniel. Let them take heart. Let them be encouraged. And God, give us the boldness of Daniel when it comes to dealing with people. And give us the boldness of Daniel when it comes to facing the consequences of what people can do when we make a stand for you. And so I thank you, God, for just the work of your Spirit and the encouragement you've given us. And Lord, do in our hearts what needs to be done to make us like, Lord, these servants we see that we so admire, that have gone before us. And so we thank you, Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a series from the book of Daniel, where we see how to be faithful to God in the midst of consequences that were brought on a sinful nation. The Israelites were forced to live in Babylon, a foreign nation far from their homeland. Can you imagine being a young man as Daniel was, living in a strikingly different religious society than what he believed? How hard would it be to stand firm in your faith? To me, it sounds pretty similar to what we experience when we make a stance for Christ. Although we may not be living in a foreign land, we still come across opposition to our faith. But as we learn from Daniel's life, God gives us courage to not bow down to the idols of this world. We can overcome great obstacles through the power of the Holy Spirit and trusting He is with us. We hope as you've listened today, you've been encouraged to stay true to Jesus where you live and work. We'd also like to invite you to come visit us. If you're in the Knoxville area, why don't you come to Calvary Knoxville this weekend? Find our service times by going to thewaymedia.net and then click on the Calvary Knoxville tab, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Outreach of Calvary Knoxville link. Once you determine which service works for you, bring the whole family. If you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link online at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. We look forward to connecting with you in any of these capacities. We'll continue our verse-by-verse study through Daniel next time on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.